Somebody said if you have trouble with somebody, just kill them. With love. Not with a gun, no. So I guess I shot him between the eyes. No, I love Brother Keith, and he's been a real blessing in my life. And it's really exciting. We were sitting a little while ago with Brother Tom, and we were just reminiscing, having a good time talking about those experiences. And really, we learned a lot of things, and I wouldn't trade those experiences for anything in the world. Wow. Praise God. I thank God for the brethren that we have. And, you know, only God can make, hallelujah, I mean this seriously with all my heart, but only God can make two people that maybe thought differently or saw things differently, or and just make them one in Christ. I want to share with you how God did that in my life. I have a few scriptures, and I'm going to be looking at Matthew, at the Lord's Prayer, and chapter 6. But I wanted to say this just quickly about forgiveness, and then we're going to go to James. It says something here. I might as well read this. I might as well read this right away, and then I'll get to this I want to share with you. In Matthew 6, after the Lord's Prayer, it says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is the Lord speaking after he had taught us how to pray. And he talks about forgiveness, and he repeats this because it's even in the Lord's Prayer about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he reemphasizes that, because if you don't do it, God's not going to forgive you your trespasses. And so I had a situation in my life growing up as a child, and my brother, I was the youngest of five, and my brother that was next to me, he made my life a little bit rough, a little bit miserable. And I talked with him one time. Since then, God's worked wonders, but he told me to share this wherever I felt to do so. And so I'm not saying anything to down him or anything like this, but I'm just sharing something that God did in our lives. And sometimes it's not comfortable to talk about some of these things. But growing up, my brother David, a number of times he was just really cruel and really mean. And on a couple of occasions, he tried to drown me in the bathtub. And you may think, well, that's just two kids playing. But he just had it with me. He would do things. If we would try to play a game together, he always had to win. And even if I was winning, he turned things around so that he would win. And it wasn't fun being around him. I'd get on the fire escape, because we lived on the third floor in Manhattan, and my window had a fire escape. And after school, we weren't allowed to go outside. We had to wait for Mom to come. I would sit on that fire escape and watch people walk by, and that was my little activity where I could just have a little fun and see my friends and say hi to them and whatnot. And then all of a sudden the window would close right behind me and the lock would be shut, and he'd be there just grinning, and then he'd go out. And somehow he would always manage to sneak out. And just one thing after another. On one occasion, he threw me and flung me in the wall and put that scar on my forehead. Another time, he popped my jaw, and on and on and on and on. It got to where I just couldn't stand him. I just couldn't care less if he'd get lost, you know, and just I didn't want to see him anymore. We moved to Florida, and he'd come in the house, I'd go out the back door. And when he was gone, I'd come back inside. And as we grew up, later he left. He went into the world, and finally he had gone into the Marines, and they stationed him in Japan. And I came up here to train for the ministry. And, I was enjoying the blessings of the Lord and everything. But there was something not right in my heart. I still could not stand the thought of being near my brother. And if he would just stay over there in Japan, that was just good enough for me. He couldn't be further, far enough, if you will. But I was one time doing homework in the room. Brother Gardner gave us a whole bunch of material to take care of and to study. And when I was done, I was writing some of the young people that I had counseled, because I felt that the counselor that was my counselor when I was a camper, how he kept in touch with me, that made an impact in my life. So I, in turn, was trying to reach out to my campers. And I would pray for them and write them and counsel them in my letters and whatnot. And then one day, as I was praying, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "You pray for them, but you don't pray for your brother." And I was really put in the spotlight there. And I said, "But Lord, you know what he did to me. You know all the things. How one time he just tried to suffocate me, and until my ears popped, I actually heard my ears popped, and I almost fainted right there." And I said, "Lord, he's just done so much to me." And then he brought me to the scripture where it says, if you say you can't love your Heavenly Father, which you have not seen, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen. And that's not a perfect quote, but that's the idea. And, that just gripped my heart, and I realized I was not right with God. And it just worked on me, the conviction of the Holy Ghost, that I was not going to make it to heaven. Here I was training for the ministry, and I was not going to make it to heaven because I couldn't stand my brother. And I cried before the Lord. I said, "God, forgive me. I don't want to miss heaven. And Lord, I don't want to have anything between you and me. What do I do?" "Write him and ask him to forgive you." I said, "Lord, but he's the one that did it." "You write him and tell him to forgive you because of the way you've just blocked him out of your life." I said, "Yes, Lord." So I got out a piece of paper, and I started doing what was the hardest thing for me to do. And I wrote him a letter, and I said, "Dave, I just want to say I'm sorry for the years I have ignored you, and the years I didn't mention anything of what he did. I just had to ask forgiveness for my part." And I just said, "I don't want to be your brother only. I want to be your friend. Would you forgive me? I want to be right before God, and I want to make it to heaven." And I got a letter back from Japan, and he said, "It wasn't you, Bill, it was me. And if you remember correctly, I did this to you, and I did that to you, and I'm sorry." And he said in his letter, "Pray for me that I'll come back to Jesus." It had been years since he had walked with the Lord. And then after that, I got another letter from him. "Oh, I just want to get saved," he said in the next letter. "And pray for me that I get saved." And then the next letter after that, "Praise God, I'm saved." And I said, here we have prayed, or my mom had prayed for him to be saved for so long. And maybe it was just this thing that was in the way. I don't know. But God worked there. And it says here, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is serious business. about forgiveness and having the real love of God. We just heard what our brother was preparing for the next season when the boys come, and about Saul, how he was just full of bitterness and jealousy, and this demon spirit would come upon him and try to destroy his life and to destroy through him David. And when people have things in their hearts and they go over and over what they feel are grievances caused by other people, it begins to fester and it begins to become like a cancer inside, and it begins to grow. And people will be full of bitterness and may lash out and hurt other people. And maybe sometimes even over misunderstandings, things that aren't even true, not even something that was just at all. Sometimes just misunderstanding a look that somebody gave you, or some words that they said, misunderstanding their motives, why they do something, and we're thinking and thinking, and we let the enemy build up on that, and it becomes like a mountain. And before you know it, we're having feelings towards that person. And we shouldn't allow things to get like that in us. And James, in the book of James, chapter 3, I was looking for this verse. My son helped me find it, because this was going over and over in my heart in verse 17. But I want to read from verse 13 through the 18th verse. That's James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And it deals with the matter of the heart here, because it says here, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." So you see that this matter of having things in the heart, feelings, hateful feelings towards others, is devilish. It comes from Satan. And he will try to use that to destroy the work of God in your life, and to destroy a church, to destroy relationships. When people let a root of bitterness get in their heart, it grows and grows and grows, and it's awful. We have down in Mexico something that's unique. It's not like up here at all, as far as the terrain and the foliage of the trees and all that. Somebody said about San Carlos, Tamaulipas in Mexico, they said everything down there will either bite you or stick you. Everything has thorns on it. All the bushes, even the grass, the seeds in it has thorns in it. And so you get pricked. If you're not careful, you get stuck and have a thorn in you. You wonder, how did I get that? And I find that these feelings of bitterness is like those mesquite trees down there. You know, it could be in the driest time, and yet a mesquite tree will blossom. And why is it? Because this mesquite tree that's all twisted and thorny has some of the deepest roots. It has some roots that are on the top, but it has roots that go way down, and they say those roots know how to find where there's water, and they will grow in a place that seems so desert-like. And bitterness is kind of like this. You can't just pull up a mesquite tree. That is one hard tree to deal with. I tried to cut it with a chainsaw and ruined my chainsaw. And I found out I needed only to cut dead mesquite trees. not live ones, because you will ruin your chainsaw. But these thorny trees that are so hard to deal with, their branches have thorns in them. Their roots go so down deep. And the Bible says we ought to be careful lest a root of bitterness springing up in us will cause that many will be defiled. A person that's full of bitterness inside can't help but speak bitterness and to defile others. And gossip and try to ruin other people's reputations. And, oh, it's so awful. It's so horrible. And we've seen how people could just be so full of anger. I had one Mexican man take off his hat and throw it on the floor and yell and scream at me, and because I wouldn't let him take advantage of us down there in the field. And, oh, he was so hopping mad. And I just had to keep my cool. I had to just be controlled, because otherwise I could fuel his anger. And as it was, he was just so full of hate. And one day, a sister that has a beautiful ministry in the Lord, she's a praying sister, and the Lord gives her visions and dreams and prophecies. One day she came up to me and she said, "I see a tall man, a dark-skinned man with a big mustache and a big white hat, and he has these big feet, his cowboy boots." And she said, "Who is he?" And I said, "Well, where did you see him?" She said, "I was in prayer, and the Lord showed him to me and told me to tell you to be careful. He wants to hurt you." And I said, "Well, that's my neighbor. You described him to a T." And sure enough, this neighbor was so angry. And like I say, we wouldn't let him take advantage of us. And he wanted to get even somehow. And I had a work to do somewhere, a job to do somewhere, when all of a sudden one of our co-workers said, "Don't you go. I'll go, Brother Bill. I'll do it for you." And when he went, the son of this man came up from behind and attacked him with a machete, because he was expecting me to be there. And when I didn't show, he just attacked the co-worker, attacked him with the machete. Well, lo and behold, well, we had to go to the authorities and make a report of this, because he was one of our workers. I was responsible for him. And we had to report this. And the authorities were going to put that young man in prison. But his father came. Now, first he was all angry. Now he was as meek as a lamb. And he said, because he knew his son was going to jail. That's what you would call well, I don't know the name in English, but una emboscada is where you trap somebody. And where you trap somebody unawares. And that's illegal, and it brings a charge, a prison sentence automatically. And so this man, he came and he was saying this and that. And I just told him, "Look, we don't have anything against you folks. We just want to have peace. If y'all will just leave us in peace, we'll remove the charges. We don't need to have vengeance." And the man you had attacked, he doesn't want vengeance. He just wants y'all to leave us in peace. And so we did not press charges any further, but it stayed there as a report. And sometimes the enemy, if we were to seek worldly wisdom would say, "Well, get even. Put them in their place. Show them that you're not anybody to be messed around with." But God's wisdom is different, and it talks about God's wisdom here in this portion of Scripture. And God wants us to show the love of Christ and to pray for people's souls and try to reach them for Jesus for eternity. And it says here about this bitterness and this hate and all that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And it says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to have people come against you and do all kinds of things to you. In the flesh, it's not easy. But we're not supposed to walk in the flesh. We're supposed to walk in the spirit. And sometimes we have that struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The Holy Spirit in us wants us to love, but the flesh wants to get even. And recall one time when, somebody had just spread all kinds of stuff about us. And, the flesh said, just tell the story the right way and get it straight. Just take it into your own hands and just set the story straight. And then the Holy Spirit said, just be quiet and let me defend you. Ooh, that was hard. Because sometimes we don't always see how God will work in a situation. And we want to put our hands to the ark, so to speak. We want to handle things our way when we ought to let God have His way. He turned that situation around where they were trying to destroy our ministry. Why? God worked, and two churches came out of that trial. Hallelujah! Two churches were established where there was no church, and God saved many souls because, God knows what He's doing, and if we had acted in the flesh, we would have ruined it all. We could have ruined everything, and. But it's hard. It's hard for the flesh. It's hard for, you know, we love ourselves too much and we need to deny ourselves. We got to get rid of the old man, die to that, and let God have His way. And sometimes you just got to be quiet. And no matter what people say or do, just be quiet and pray for them. Love them. And that's what Jesus said to do. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemies. That's hard for the flesh. But we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. It says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, is it not? I believe so. And so is peace. Isn't that a fruit of the Spirit? Peace, love, joy, peace, long suffering, all those good things. And we like to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're really filled with the Holy Spirit, there should be fruit. That should show in us. And many times, we're put to the test, and it's right when we're in the middle of that test that we're going to either glorify God or we're going to lose the battle. We're going to fail the test, but God doesn't want us to fail the test. He gives us grace. He gives us the Holy Ghost to come upon us and to lead us and guide us in all truth. Hallelujah. He pours out His love upon us. You should see how my brother and I get along now. The moment he sees me, he comes and runs and gives me a hug. He lifts me up. And he even gives me a kiss, and I can't stand that. I don't like for my brother to kiss me, but anyway, he does it. And then he tells people I'm his older brother when he's my older brother. And he said, that's my pastor. And I just shake my head. But anyway, he loves me and I love my brother. Before, I couldn't stand him. Only Jesus could do this. Only Jesus could do it, and He could change that awful nature in us that has to get even with people and has to be so proud that we can't even say we're sorry. God can change us. God can make us different. And I thank God for a place like this where we could pray and get apart and seek the Lord and let Him change us. Oh, so many victories have been won here and in the winter program and all. And God is still winning victories and lives in the camp meetings. And I've heard wonderful reports throughout the years, even though I've been away now some 16 years. And I've been here off and on. But, how I've longed to be here many times. Sit still before the Lord and remember what we were taught and go over the notes we were given and be reminded of the many messages. But a lot of it has to do with the heart, issues about the heart. And see, if we don't learn these lessons, we won't be good for anybody. We won't be able to help anybody, let alone ourselves. See, I could leave this meeting and have something in my heart to one of you, against one of you. And if I go on my way and the Lord should call me home, I'm going to give an account for that thing I had toward you. You see? And sometimes, like I was saying before, we even can end up having feelings towards people because of something somebody said to us which wasn't even true. I've had that happen where people have told me so-and-so thinks this about you, and it turned out not to even be true. So what was the sense of getting all worked up about that? Just love them anyway. Hallelujah. Jesus loved us when we were unlovable. Hallelujah. And He saved us when we were in our lowest point, changed us. Why can't we love one another? Of course we can. By the grace of God, through the love of God. And it says that the love of God is shed abroad upon all of us. And as we seek God and get more filled with Jesus, then we can love one another the way we should. And let's learn our lessons. Let's pray that the Lord would come to us and change us, and that there won't be anything, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing at all. Hallelujah. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to have things there. Give it all to Jesus. Cover it with the precious blood. I remember after that letter that I sent my brother, the first time I saw him, he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, and I'm so sorry." And the next time I saw him, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." I said, "Dave, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. Praise God." And, you know, and we got to remember there's power in the blood of Jesus to wash all those things away. Praise God. I've had to see people that maybe I felt had something towards me and still go and shake their hand. One time when we were starting our first church in Mexico, there was a village where they had two Catholic church and no evangelical church. And the door opened up for us and we were preaching and we built some benches and a makeshift pulpit and put it out there. And we were going to preach the word there in the open air. There was this burro across the way that every time I'd get up to preach, he'd start to hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. And I thought he was mocking me because it was just like clockwork. Every time I got up to preach, hee-haw, 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 hee-haw. Well, anyway, in that place, it was kind of interesting. You know, they say ignorance is bliss. There was a lot of things I was ignorant about Mexico. Oh, my. Somebody went to the Catholic church one time when I was preaching. They start ringing the bell, and lit firecrackers. I thought, boy, they're excited I'm here. They're celebrating. It was the opposite. They were not so happy, and that was like a sign of protest. But anyhow, once we started those services there, this other man came, a minister from a nearby village. He had heard I was having services, and then he went to the house where I used to store my things, and he'd ask for all my things, and he started trying to start a service and inviting all the people that came to my service. I said, I've never seen any of this in the Ridgewood Fellowship. I don't understand what kind of Christianity this is. But anyhow, he was trying to steal the congregation that I had, using all my belongings, all my things. I had a little speaker and a microphone. He would take that too. And then I found out they were going to have a revival service. And he had all my things, and all the people were invited. I said, well, I'm going too. And so I sat there, and then they went ahead and started to introduce all the ministers there, and I was saved for last. And then he started to present all the pastors' wives, and my wife was homesick, and she had not been well for weeks. And this one man that was there, that they had as the MC of the service, he knew this. And here, when they came to me, he said, and where's your wife? And I said, well, she's not well. And he said, she's not well, ha, 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 and just laughed and made light of this. Oh, it hurt so bad. And when after the service, I just wanted to go and just crawl under a rock somewhere. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go shake his hand. But Lord, you saw what he did. Go shake his hand. Okay, Lord, I'll do it for you. You help me, Lord. And I went, to shake the hand, and they gave me their back. And I said, well, Lord, I obeyed you. Now go and invite them to, if they need a ride home. Yes, Lord. Do you folks need a ride home? No, we're fine. We'll walk. Okay. Well, you know, if I have a big van, you're welcome to. No, we're fine. Okay. I went home, put the kids to bed. They were real little. Got them changed and put them to bed and closed the door. Went to the kitchen and I started to sulk. Oh, boo-hoo, poor old me. And then the next day I went to see this seasoned minister down there. I adopted her as my Mexican mama, Sister Lupita. Oh, what a saint. Oh, precious woman. She started churches in her early teens, and she would ride a burro up into the mountains, and she started, I don't know how many churches, just in her youth. Anyhow, I went and I poured out my heart to Sister Lupita, and I was waiting for a comforting word from her. And she said, is that it, Brother Bill? Is that all you wanted to say? Yes, that's it. She goes, well, that was just a little prick compared to what they did to Jesus. Ooh. I said, oh my. What is wrong with me feeling sorry for myself? Oh, God, there's still a lot of flesh there. God, forgive me. I said, God, oh, forgive me. What a fool I'm making of myself. I said, all right, that's it. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise God. That was just a little prick compared to what they did to Jesus. And you know, it's true. We sometimes we'll just sulk and just go on. Brother Gardner used to say, get in a dump. Down in the South, they say, get in a muddy grub. And, feel sorry for yourself. Because what people did when it's just a little prick, a little bump compared to what they did to Jesus for us. And we sometimes just get so defeated over the slightest things, and we don't grow spiritually. We don't grow and we want to quit. Well, if that's the way they're going to be with me, I'm not going any further. And we want to quit when that was just a little prick compared to what they did to Jesus. We've got to get a little bit tougher. And we've got to have a little more insight as to what God is trying to do for us. The enemy will try to destroy the work of the Lord in us, but we've got to press on. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus no matter what happens, no matter what comes, what goes. Oh, praise God. We went down there to Mexico with nothing but a little Bible school we were supposed to start. Now there's 13 churches, and when we get back, we're going to be building another church in the state of Chihuahua. And all to the glory of God. God's done marvelous things. I'm invited down South Mexico where there's sometimes up to 2,000 young people gathered together to hear the word of God. Oh, it's exciting. And last year, there was 1,500 in the state of Veracruz. And this past summer, this summer, we went and there was about 500 in, up in another part of Veracruz where we were having the youth convention. And so God has been working. Souls are being saved and delivered. But, you know, all of that could just go down if we just let the enemy plant a root of bitterness. All that could be wasted. And may God help us to keep our eyes on the Lord and to press on. He has grace for us. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear Jesus.